Hi, I'm Mary Jane.
And I'm Bridget, and we'd like to welcome you to this episode of the Super Good Juice Podcast.
The Super Good Juice Podcast is a place where we talk to incredible women about their careers.
We know that careers aren't linear, but nobody really talks about it.
And so this is a space to share and listen and hopefully learn something along the way.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 6 of the Super Good Juice Podcast. Today, we're talking to Tia Woods, a business owner and model. Tia has one of New Zealand's most recognisable faces, having consistently worked in the modelling industry for over a decade, something very few people are able to achieve. At 15, she won the then coveted Girlfriend magazine competition and was quickly thrust onto the international modelling circuit. When things naturally started to slow down and without a plan B, she moved agency side and started booking before eventually starting her own agency, Super Management, with business partner Catherine Lowe. In this episode, we talk about her decision to pursue modelling full-time, the sacrifices that came with that decision, how the industry has evolved over the years for better or for worse, trusting her gut, starting her own agency, and her commitment to providing opportunities and good, solid, healthy management for the now 40-plus models Super Management has on its board. And this just touches the surface. There is so much more to today's episode, so grab a cuppa and enjoy.
Hi, Tia, where are you and how did you get there and what's been your story so far?
Well, Mary Jane, obviously, you would know the story.
Very well.
Well, I started as a model when I was about 15. I won a modelling competition, and part of that prize was a modelling contract with an agency in Auckland that Mary Jane used to work for.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of spent about 10 years sort of traveling internationally with that in various markets like New York, Milan, Asia, Sydney. And then I became booker at that agency for about 5 years. That agency then went into receivership and closed. I actually left, sorry, but kind of knowing that I was on a bit of a sinking ship. And then Catherine and I, my business partner, set up Super 2 years ago.
Where did you grow up? What school did you go to?
So I grew up in Hamilton. I lived in Koromātua, which is, it's like past the Mormon temple.
Yeah,
I grew up on a dairy farm. I went to Koromātua primary school, and then I went to St. Peter's in Cambridge.
Why St. Peter's and why Cambridge?
Well, we were out of the zone for everything else. But they had a really good tennis academy there. It was cool. Never experienced any bullying there. Like, it was a really good school. I really had fun.
What was the catalyst, or what made you decide to go in for the Girlfriend modelling competition?
My mother. I was playing so much sports. I was really into my sport, and mum was like, you know, you should do something different. Like, what about this comp? Enter it. I was like, oh, fine. So I did it kind of out of spite, just to keep her happy. I didn't really know that I would have a career. I think things happened pretty quickly for me. I was 15 when I won it. I finished school the end of fifth form to pursue an international career. So I never finished school. I guess at that time, like, it was a bit different then. Like, things happened fast. An agency could see your potential to work overseas. They would press the button pretty quickly, place you there, send you away, and then hope that you kind of make a lot of money. And it was just the way that it was then. You couldn't do that now. Definitely no. Couldn't send a child overseas by themselves with no real plan. You know, there was no real plan. It was just like, well, she's printing money, let's just let her go.
How does that work? Okay, so you're 15 and you're wrapping up school. How are you even allowed out of the country by yourself?
Mate, I don't even know. But like, it was quite normal, I think. It was quite normal for girls to travel from the age of 16.
Yeah.
Some models had their parents, but obviously my parents wouldn't.
Mm.
So there was like a lot of trust in having the right people around you. I think I just sort of embraced it. Like, I went to New York to get signed, but I was obviously too young to stay on by myself. So I ended up going to Sydney. That was my first stint away. I had family there, so it kind of made it easier.
Just think of 15 and 16 year olds that I know and leaving their school friends or, you know, your sport and your environment. How did that feel when you left that?
It was hard. I was really homesick. I still get homesick from traveling somewhere. I'm so close with my family. I was always so envious when I saw my friends doing stuff on the weekends and just doing normal everyday shit.
Kids stuff.
Yep.
And here I was going to 10 castings a day, which is like 10 job interviews.
Mm.
Far out.
And then going to shoots and kind of just working. I had a very different life compared to my friends. My parents knew how important it was for me to be grounded. So I did come home quite a bit, but like not for long periods of time.
Did your mum expect that? Did she expect her kind of middle child to be heading away?
Did mum expect that, MJ?
No. No.
I don't think any parent actually does, to be fair. Especially in modeling, like they don't really know what the potential is, you know.
Yeah, it's so unknown.
It is. It's very unpredictable.
Yeah. I think you arrived on the scene at a time where, like you say, everything happened really fast. If you had the right look and the right attitude and you worked well with people, you could just fly. Because I just remember you coming in and you just worked. You were getting editorials, really nice advertising, which is where you get the money, in pretty quick succession before you even went overseas, because you can't really go overseas, can you, unless you've got some stuff in your book. Well, back then, anyway, you had a pretty good book for a 15-year-old.
Yeah, I sort of just hit the ground running. It was just my time, you know. I was in the right place at the right time. Mm. And I kind of didn't really know what was happening. I knew that I would be doing something different.
And so as a 15-year-old, you're starting to earn money, but you're not earning it in the way that most teenagers are earning money. How did you manage the finance side of things?
I mean, I didn't really. You know, like if you're a teenager, kind of blow it, but which I did at times. You know, it's very rare for someone of their age to have this kind of money, and you know,
and the opportunity to spend it.
Yeah, my dad was like, "We don't know what kind of money you're going to make, but if you do make a lot, then you're going to have to make sure that you set yourself up." So I used the same accountant that my parents had used, and so I made sure that I had that in place. Setting up a company, having someone like deal with all your international tax stuff, all my expenses and things like that. So it's really important to get all of that watertight before you go anywhere.
You spent 10 years modeling. You know, I got my first kind of career job when I was like 23 24. You were already 8 years into your career by that point, so you'd learned a hell of a lot. Were there any really tough lessons that you learned during that time?
It's not a regulated industry. There's a lot that you kind of, you go in pretty blind, you know, you don't really know what's going on. So it's like really important to have that trust in your agent, your mother agent, who is actually looking after you.
Have you always been with the same mother agency? Like I don't really understand the concept of the mother agency. So maybe first tell me what that is and then have you shopped around?
Klein was my mother agent. So a mother agent basically, they do all your placements internationally. Out of all those placements in all those markets that you work in, they share the commission with your host agency that's representing you all the different territories. But they like facilitate your movements. I was with them from the age of 15 and I never left. I never shopped around. I was quite lucky because I was looked after. You know, we had our moments, but I was happy with how things are going. So I was like, there's no need for me to leave.
My next question for you is, have you ever had to put your foot down and be like, I don't trust you, or I'm not happy with how I'm being managed?
You couldn't really do it on a shoot or a job. But yeah, there were like situations overseas, one in Hong Kong, and I was just so unhappy there. And I didn't feel like the agency were looking after me. I felt like I was kind of being a bit, you know, exploited in a way, because no one can communicate with me. I didn't know when the next job was coming. I didn't know anything. They just mismanaged me. And I was a bit gutted that my agency didn't say anything. And I was like, look, this is not okay. This is not okay. I need to come home now. And sure enough, I was on the next plane out. You do have to put your foot down, because models, a lot of people don't realize, but models are self-employed. You're paying an agency commission to manage you. So it's really important that you're getting something out of it. You're getting what you want.
Is that the first time you put your foot down? Like, how did you learn it?
I don't know. I'm someone that is like, you know, everyone's like, oh, she's really nice and she's really quiet and, you know, like whatever. But if you feel uncomfortable, I don't hesitate. I just don't. If I don't want to do something, I won't do it.
When you went overseas, what was your favorite market to work in?
I really loved Milan. Such a beautiful place. Everyone writes Milan off as being this ugly industrial sort of city, but I thought it was so beautiful. I'd never seen architecture like that before, and the language and the food. And I just thought it was so quite a romantic city. And work was going so well for me. So it was all a bit of a win-win.
Walk me through the last few years.
Things were slowing down modeling wise for me, and I was kind of just getting over it. Felt like I needed some security, and I sort of was twiddling my thumbs. I was like, you know, what am I actually going to do? Because I didn't have a plan B. And Marima, who was the agent at Klein at the time, had bought Klein, and he was like, you know, I think it'd be great for you to be a part of the team. Like, how do you feel about moving, becoming a booker? And I was like, oh. And so I just took the opportunity. So I could still kind of, you know, do the odd modeling job if I wanted to, and then book. I did that for 5 years. There's a lot of internal things happening there, like a lot of internal issues before I even got there as an agent. And then we were down to a team of two. So it was myself and Catherine, who is my business partner now. And I just felt there were a lot of things wrong. The boss had left and lived in another country. Things weren't working. There was no communication. Models were after their money, and, you know, there's no one to contact. My gut was like, you've got to get out. I resigned before COVID, actually, just before the first lockdown. I was really gutted because it's such a personal thing for me, because I basically grew up there. I was a kid there, and then I felt like I was really invested in a lot of the people that I worked with. It was such a personal thing because I had a relationship with all the models and the boss too. There was a lot of pain for me to walk away, but I think I made the right decision. And then COVID happened, and then it all went under.
What was that conversation like with Catherine when you decided to resign?
It was hard. It was just her and I looking after all these people. And it was only really a matter of time before she kind of made her exit as well. And it was a really hard decision. Like, we didn't have any plans to do anything. And I think we were just so emotionally drained from all of the shit going on that it was just like, we were just so overwhelmed, I think.
When you are an agent, you're more than just a facilitator of jobs.
Yeah.
You kind of become the parent, the counselor, the best friend, the confidant.
Protector.
To all of the people that you represent, the protector. All of that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of roles.
And while you've got all that stuff going on, you've also got a boss who's
disappeared.
And you also have a loyalty towards him and the agency. So
yeah, it was really hard.
I'm not surprised you guys were feeling so exhausted.
Yeah, it was a lot. Again, I had no plan B. I just knew I had to leave. And then COVID happened, and I was like, this is a great time for me to volunteer. I think I just needed to feel good, just keep my mind busy, do something. So I ended up volunteering for the Ronald McDonald House for pretty much that whole first bit of COVID. And then Catherine was like, do you want to meet up? Because we can see people now. And then Catherine was like, do you want to start an agency with me? And I was like, oh God, no, I don't. But then so many people over the years, like my dad and my partner, have always gone like, why don't you just do your own thing? And I was like, because it's too hard. I was really stoked because I love Catherine, and I think I just needed that push. You know, it was nice to feel like you were valued. It's like, we can do it. We can do something together. Let's just get a couple of solid girls and just see where it takes us. It was kind of born that day.
How long did it take for you to get from that conversation to setting everything up?
We obviously had no job, so we needed to move quite quickly. We had girls that did come with us from Klein, and then we had to find the others. And we didn't even have a website or anything. Like, no one knew we existed. Once we got the name, then we built the website, and then we kind of just popped up. But like before that, we were putting models forward for jobs for that month.
So pretty fast.
Is that fast? I don't know.
It's pretty fast.
So yeah, things happened pretty quickly. It's such a small boutique agency. I think we didn't want to be loud. We didn't want to, you know, have this crazy branding and shit. And we didn't want to be like the other agents, you know. We just wanted good management where the girls are looked after, they're paid, and it's just clean business.
With Klein going into receivership, was there any type of restraint or trade on you that meant you couldn't take the clients? Or did you have to have that type of conversation with Marama saying,
well, I didn't even consider that. I was like, I'm going to take the risk, whatever. You know, what's he going to do? Fly back to New Zealand during COVID and take me to court? Maybe. But I just had a gut feeling that it wasn't going to happen.
Have you heard from him?
He has never contacted me.
15 years and you didn't even get a see you later.
No.
Did he leave you out of pocket?
The accountant ended up paying like all of my modeling jobs.
I assume going through all of that has made you kind of think about what type of employer you want to be, right?
Yeah, totally. There were so many lessons from that experience. There was also really positive things as well. It was an amazing agency in a lot of ways, but there were a lot of changes.
I'm really curious to understand your impression as you moved onto the other side when you became an agent or a booker. Mm. What was that like for you?
It was kind of weird negotiating jobs with people that you have worked with. It's so weird, so different. You sort of had to get to know the talent and your models and all the clients, like they were new clients. And so you're having to retain quite a lot of information.
Was there a learning curve? Because you're essentially changing the way you work, or you're changing the work you do. So you'd be like using emails, using calendars, using systems, yeah. You know.
9 to 5.
9 to 5. Yeah.
That shift must have been massive for you.
Yeah. I was already pretty organized because modeling sort of teaches you to be like that. But I wasn't negotiating anything.
Taking measurements.
Oof. It's so grim.
It's awful.
That's the shit part. And there's just so much anxiety around it.
Have things changed around those measurements, though?
I think there's been a shift in the last couple of years. So much more flexibility now, more diversity, different shapes and sizes, but like in a more high fashion. So that's like your Pradas and your Gucci's and stuff. They're all pretty like standard measurements for, you know, fashion.
What are your models look like? Have you got the diversity there?
We're still working on our, we've got like a variety of girls. It's quite hard to find a great curve girl, I'm not going to lie. And I know that we need to, but I haven't discovered anyone yet.
How many models do you have on your board?
We've got 40 models, and then we've got probably about the same talent.
So thinking of all of your experience as a model, as a booker, and now as a business owner with someone who has similar values as you towards the industry, Catherine, what's your guys' philosophy around super management?
I think we just want to be able to provide opportunities. It's such a selective business. Not everyone can do this. The potential to have a career is very rare, but it's so exciting and so awesome. And we just want to provide good, healthy management.
And what does healthy mean? Like, in what respects? Is it the mental health? Is it financial health?
Everything. It's everything. You're so responsible for them. So it's really important that models understand that they are their own boss too. They can tell us what they want to do and what they don't want to do. It's like, what do you want? And we'll work around whatever it is that you want. Because my day, it was my day. I'm not 100, but, you know, you didn't have a voice, I think. You didn't know what you were doing. You just did what you were told. And now it's like models kind of have a bit of power, I think.
If you're growing these young women to be strong and stand up for themselves, have you had any moments where you're like, yeah, you go, girl?
I was really excited when Alida, she's never left New Zealand before. And she moved to Sydney and she's just been cranking. So I'm incredibly proud of all of them.
What about for your own personal career, modeling career? Is there anything you're specifically proud of?
That I survived, honestly. I'm actually proud of myself for taking that risk. I don't think a lot of kids would have done what I did. I don't know anyone from New Zealand actually that really did what I did. But I'm glad I took the risk.
You went for
it. I came out okay. I'm not traumatized. I don't have any trauma from it. I just embraced it. And, you know, if things got tough, I just knew I could come home.
You had a real subtle, steely ambition. Mm. You never really verbalized it. Mm. And I think your parents must have sensed that as well. Otherwise, they wouldn't have let you do it.
Yeah.
I see it now as a 32-year-old, but I imagine you would have had a certain like innate maturity as well in order for them to let you go. Mary Jane, you probably saw that in Tia and felt that level of comfort? Because I imagine you wouldn't have felt comfortable letting Tia bugger off to the other side of the world.
We didn't have much of a say, honestly. Klein was very male dominated.
Straight male.
Yeah. The female voice did not get much airtime. The owner, Marama wasn't the owner at the time. The owner, Marama, led everything. And they both had modeled internationally before. So their approach was informed by their experience. They dominated a lot of the decision making, I think.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one too, because like being a straight male working in a modeling agency, and you can't really relate to young women, can you? And that's what I think was missing, is having, you know, that female leader, someone that you trust. You know, I think the straight male thing was a bit like, why is this grown man doing a 15-year-old's measurements? It's not right.
Yeah, and some decisions about what would go on the internet. It started to piss me off. I remember speaking up sometimes saying, I don't think those pictures of Tia should be
with
on.
With the nipples out.
Yeah. Like, one, I don't think he should have done the photos without anyone else there.
Yes.
And two, I didn't think that the pictures should be on the website.
No.
Okay, maybe put them in your book. Maybe.
That was that kind of.
But they didn't need to be on the website.
It's just not, I mean, that shit's not cool anymore anyway. Anyone, like any photographer that emails and wanting to do a topless shot, go fuck himself. You know, like, it's not cool anymore.
It's just unnecessary, isn't
it? Unnecessary.
Also can't put it on Instagram because, you know, free the nip.
With the advent of social media, has that sort of changed the way the industry works?
Yeah, I think it's a great platform, actually. No one's really looking on a website, right? It's so much easier to look at your Instagram and go, you know. So it's been really great. Also, just like in the way that models now are being booked on jobs, mainly overseas, a lot of clients and a lot of agencies want to see what the models are up to on Instagram. So it's like really important to be on it. You kind of want like a decent amount of followers, and you just want to keep people engaged. You know, that's like what they want to see. I think there's always going to be that traditional model, you know, that's tall and skinny. But I think there is now, the industry is sort of demanding those Instagram models. I'm still coming around to that. You know, I don't personally like find it an Instagram model that interesting, but you know, they make money. You can teach them how to walk and they'll be in a show. Like, that's just what the industry demands. But I'm coming around to the idea of that, because we don't have anyone like that on our board, but we don't really have many of those in New Zealand, I don't think.
You mentioned a few times that you didn't have a plan B, but the kids these days, some of them probably are kids.
Like, we're all 100.
The kids these days, it sounds to me like they kind of do have other things going on. What sort of plan Bs are they looking at? Is it going to university? Is it prioritizing building their own businesses? What are their plan Bs?
Most models study. I would never suggest to model full time. Especially in New Zealand, it's impossible. It's not realistic, and you won't make enough money to survive. So know what you want to do. And yeah, most of them are at university and working part-time. And
it's great that that's part of the conversation.
Oh, it's like, be realistic at the start. I just don't think anyone was realistic with models at that time. They're all bigger and better than this industry.
Exactly.
Stuff's changed as well. Like, you can study in your own time. Like, you can do online lectures. It shouldn't really stand in the way. Like, you should be able to do more than one thing.
We've seen it, you know, and I was like, oh my God, I wish I did that. I wish I knew I could do that.
You might not have been able to then.
It's pretty admirable now. We had a girl that was an architect, and she went to New York and she did really well, but she also had like this little architect job that she did part-time, and like, it's pretty awesome that you can do all these things.
If you could have studied, what would you have studied?
I was really into sport then, so I probably would have done like sports journalism or something in that area. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, what sports did you play, Tia?
I played tennis and soccer. I played tennis for Waikato, so I was good. I didn't love tennis. I loved soccer because I loved the team sport.
Mm-hmm. What is your most memorable career moment?
Now.
Oh, cool.
Starting something that's mine, well, that I share with quite a special person. So, yeah, now, our business. That's my absolute, career highlight.
love that. Fills me with so much joy.
And I mean it too, you know. I do mean it.
Any regrets?
Oh, I actually don't. I did, you know, I think through my time I was like, oh, shouldn't have done that. Should have stayed in school. I should have gone to university. I should have just got a real job. But like, honestly, I think, you know, this is just all part of my journey. Like, this is what I'm supposed to do. Had I not taken the risk and become a model, and had I not become a booker, and had I not gone through all that shit in my career, I would not be here. So no, I do not.
And what do you do to create space from work?
Family, spending time with my partner, getting out, because I work from home, so it's really important to get out. Exercise, really, really, really important mentally for me. And going away, I love going away with my partner somewhere.
Do you have any essential reading, watching, or listening recommendations?
Oh, there's a girl that I used to live with for a brief time. She was an ex-model. Her name is Sara Hoven, and she has this podcast called With Sara. She's a positive psychology practitioner. And she's Finnish. She talks to like various people in the industry and shares their stories, and also as a coach, helps models kind of, you know, guide them into the industry in a healthy way. And I really admired her for that.
Do you have a favorite hype song or activity?
I like the pub. I love the pub. It makes me so happy.
I have one more question, sorry, before we wrap it up completely. How did you celebrate the 2-year anniversary of Super Management?
We just decided to give ourselves a nice little bonus for all our efforts.
Good.
Yeah.
Love
and
it.
I think I probably went out that night anyway. So.
Spent it all.
To the pub for your hype activity.
The champagne is on me.
Tia, Tia, Tia.
Oh my God.
Tia, thank you so much for joining us on this We Caught It All that we've had tonight. I'm so excited that your proudest moment is your current moment, because I love that you're living it.
Thank you. I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you for seeing something in me, because I, you know, sometimes I just don't know. I just get on with shit.
That's why we do the pod.
Yeah. I love you guys.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. All the ways you can contact Tia and get in touch with Super Management are in the show notes below. If you haven't already rated or reviewed the podcast, please help us out by doing so wherever you listen to our pod. All feedback is welcome and we appreciate it very much. If you or someone you know has a career story to tell, please get in touch. We love hearing and sharing your stories. All the ways to contact us are also in the show notes below. Super Good Juice is a Popper Pod on production. This episode was produced by Bridget Ashby and me, Mary Jane Rewitt. Editing and sound design is also by me. The music you hear in this podcast is sourced through Upbeat. The artist is Tatami, and the track is called In Motion. See you next time.